1:30 to 3 p.m. session. So this one is puja, followed by briefing, by ratio on all those essential dhamma. Most of it we have covered. We will continue so that we can cover all of the essential dhamma. Number one, strengthening the spiritual faculty, we have done, so that it can help you overcome the mental hindrance. This one you should be clear by now. Then developing the understanding of the four right effort, we have covered. Five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, we have covered. Five daily contemplation, we have covered. What constitute evil, the three evil roots of greed and hatred and delusion, we have covered. Then the two aspects of the five aggregate of form and mind, we have covered. Then 12 link, dependent origination, also we have covered. Then four number truth, I didn't really go into it. I hope I can have the time to go into it. Then four foundation of mindfulness, we didn't really go into it fully. I just mentioned it casually. Now, seven factor of enlightenment we have gone through. And important or devotional practice also I have briefed you. Okay. So now what I will do is we will do a short puja. Compose your mind, develop the faith, then we will chant. We chant the salutation. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay. I will also recite the invocation to the devas so that you can chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha after that. I will read to you the English translation. It's not in your chanting book, this part. In this universe in their entirety, let the dainties or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Then I will chant the Pali. Those who can chant together. Those who are new, you just listen attentively. Samantha Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atassa bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anottaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati Svakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipasiko opanayiko pachyatam veditabbo vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango Samichi patipanno bhagavato savakasango Yatidam chattari purisa yokani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo, Pahuneyo, Dakineyo, Anjali Karaniyo, Anuttaram Punyaketam Lokasati. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you can be seated. We will continue from where we stop. Heart Sutta, page 249. The opening verse by Master Sien Hua. Reversing the light to shine within. So in Mandarin, it's called Hui Guang Fan Zhao. Avalokiteshvara enlightens all sentient beings, thus he is a bodhisattva. His mind is thus unmoving, zu zu putong. A superior one at peace, with total understanding of the ever-shining, he is the host and master. So this poem, if you understand, is beautiful. I will explain. The first line of the above verse is very important because most of the time our mind dwells outside to chase after external. So the problem with living beings is their senses are always pointing outside. So the external phenomenal world, like very real to you, that's how you get yourself entangled and lost outside. But you forgot that the real gem is within, the ever-shining, or the essence of mind, your true mind, is within. So because you don't have that understanding, most cultivators, they search outside. They go here, go there, chasing after everything outside. And when you use the thought, it's always outside. Your thought can never understand truth, reality. So this is the reason why all cultivators, they will know, especially Mahayana, they always advise you to reverse the light to shine within. Why must you shine within? Just like Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, when he was cultivating the Prajna Paramita Sutta, perfection of wisdom, he illuminated the five skanda that is shining within. Where the five skanda, the second aspect, is within the mundane mind. Then he realized this mundane mind, the five aggregate of form and mind, is empty. And he crossed over. Just like that. No more ignorant, liberated. So this is the reason why you have to reverse the light. Then like J. Krishnamurti say, we are seeking enlightenment. But we don't understand what this enlightenment is all about. Most people who started, they also don't understand. So they read books, they listen to what people tell them. So after you have read all these books, then you go and speculate what this thing is. But they have to use word to express it. Then they tell you the Buddha nature, the true nature, the oneness nature, the God, the source of all things, and all these things. But then you cannot make head or tail. All the words are different. Then you only speculate. Then Krishnamurti asks, what happened, that thing that you seek, if the seeker is the seek, means the person who is seeking, he doesn't know that the thing that he's seeking is inside him. So what are you doing? You are running all over the world, all over the places, looking outside, reading, listening, and do all the study. And this is what thought-based meditation is all about. And through knowledge, you try to search for that true thing, which is beyond thought, beyond time, beyond all knowledge. That true nature within. If that is the case, then you have to reverse the light. Reverse the light means silence your mind. Allow the senses not to chase after outside. Silence your mind and look within. Without the silent mind, you cannot see within. Everything that you come to perceive, the external phenomena, will arise from the mind. That's why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So to see this five aggregate form of mind, you have to have that silent mind awareness within. Because they are all within. Even though perception can take the external form into the mind, but the five aggregate form of mind is still within the mind. But that is the mundane mind. So when you understand this, you realize that the importance of the advice of the Buddha to train your mind to have this mindfulness quality leading to heedfulness. That's why without mindfulness leading to heedfulness, you cannot see the mind. Then the final summary, in short, is the five aggregate of grasping that I call suffering. So you cannot see your five aggregate of form of mind. You cannot understand what is five aggregate of form of mind. Then you cannot put to test what he has taught you. But when you understand what this five aggregate of form of mind is, then you see it within your meditation, then you can put to test. Mental form, external form. If I attach, if I cling, do I suffer? If I deludedly hold, do I suffer? Then the physical body, physical form, the first aspect, is the same. If I attach, believe that it's me, do I suffer? Then you investigate, yeah, you will suffer. But you want it forever young, never get old, never get sick, and never die. But the form goes the way of nature. It's incapable of this thing. And when you start to understand all this, your mind will become different. Then there is a possibility of awakening to all this. That's the reason why mindfulness to see within is very important. From mindfulness, stabilize it to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, leading to heedfulness. Okay? So now I will read the next paragraph. paragraph. The first line of the above verse is very important because most of the time our mind dwells outside to chase after external. The external appearances that created the phenomenal world of ours. This is also the reason why the Buddha said under Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 that our mind is the forerunner of all things and mind is cheap. Everything arises when the mind arises. In order to understand what is going on, we need to return the mind to abide within, so that we can be aware of what is going on within our mind. Hence the importance of reversing the light to shine within. Hui Quang Fan Zhao. Only then can we be aware of our content of consciousness within our mind, and how our mind are stirred by external and conditioning, or conditioned into clinging and grasping after external created by mind. We are our delusion and mental aggregates of feeling, perception, activity of mind and consciousness. You will start to understand how thought and feeling arise in your mind upon contact with every moment of sense thought consciousness, and how they condition each other. How your thought with its conditioning condition your feeling, reaction of mind, and then how this feeling become craving, emotion, to condition your subsequent wrong thought and wrong thinking. All this, if you are not careful or heedful, if you do not develop the wisdom or yoniso manasikara to enable you to see things as they are, clinging and grasping will continue to arise, and dukkha or suffering will be the result. So this is clear. Then we move on. The next verse, with total understanding of the ever shining, he is the host and master. The word host is synonymous to the owner or innkeeper. There's an analogy in the Zen. The ever shining is our Buddha nature within. Imagine oneself as a hotel with 6 rooms. The 6 sense bases are like your 6 rooms. And the sense data or external form are like your guests of the mind. For example, the guests of your seeing consciousness are color, shape and form, vibration like sound, music, noise, etc. are guests of the hearing consciousness. These guests of the mind are not like human beings because they cannot talk or complain. So it is a lot easier to manage hotel if one is not deluded. The host or the owner of the hotel is always there to receive the guests. The guests of the mind, they come and go, hence they are impermanent. As guests, they are here to stay for a while only. And most of the time, they stay for a split second only. But because of your delusion, you cling onto them as memory and give them meaning so that they can stay for a longer period of time, thereby causing you all the misery and suffering, at times leading to depression. If the mundane mind can reverse the light and shine within, then it can stay aware inside and see clearly how peaceful he is when he just allow them to be or to come and to go. We are perceiving them with wholesomeness and wisdom and right view. And also how he suffer and become miserable when he perceives them with negativity via his wrong view, sakayaditi, to grasp and cling onto them via wanting things his way. This will enable him to develop the wisdom to understand that if he, the host, does not attach, cling or react, then he is always peaceful and is not disturbed by the guests of the mind. Then life is wonderful and meaningful, and the guests of the mind can also be quite fun at times. Turn to the next page. Host, always there to stay, but guests, they come and go. You hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy depends entirely on your choice. So why are you not happy? If we choose to be happy, then no one can make you unhappy unless we ourselves allow ourselves to be unhappy via our own delusion. That thought is like money, and money is neither good or bad, because good and bad depend on the user of money. If the user of money or thought is evil, then money or thought will also become evil. If user of thought has wisdom, then thought become right thought and wholesome thought. So the user of thought is the most important. Hence, do strive on with heedfulness to develop the right view more and more, leading to the wisdom. So now you understand, all these are for you to develop the understanding to cultivate. Then 3.1, meditation. Bratio explained that the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths in Pali under the Theravada tradition is very accurate. Mahayana explanation compared with Theravada differs a bit. The problem with most cultivators is they cling onto the atta, the I. The problem with most cultivators is they cling onto the first turning and never get down to the nitty-gritty of the second turning where all the hard work is. So to refer to email number 4, page 9 of the email compilation notes, the title is Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, dated 14 May 2007. So that book is available at the back. Okay, we go to the next Heart Sutta class chapter, chapter 13. This one was delivered on the 20th of May, 2012. Again, they are Dhammapada verse, so we skip verse 21, 22, and 23. Then Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 also same. One lead to suffering, the other one lead to happiness. Then we go to 2.3. Why is the teaching or Dhamma as taught by the Buddha during his time becomes different as it gets passed down over the years? And this one you have to develop the understanding. Because the Dhamma was passed down via using words and speeches which are verbal in nature. And as we all know, words are subject to various types of interpretation. Hence the deviation. For example, when asked about what is the First Noble Truth as taught by the Buddha, more often than not, we get the standard and very popularly accepted answer, life is suffering. This one I explained before. And this is very dangerous because the Buddha never said that. The Buddha instead proclaimed that there is a First Noble Truth that explains clearly to you what suffering is. And according to the Buddha, there are 8 conditions in life, or the 8 realities of life and existence. They can give rise to suffering when one confronts them without wisdom. They are the realities of birth, old age, sickness, and death. Birth, old age, sickness, and death, yes. When you are with people whom you don't like, when there is separation from your loved ones and your prized possession, things that we hold on to dearly, when you cannot get what you want, or when things don't go your way, etc. No matter who you are and how wealthy and powerful you are, if you live long enough, you will confront all this reality of life and existence. The Buddha then went on to proclaim that there is a cause behind all suffering, and the cause is always craving, born of delusion. This is the second noble truth. Then under the third noble truth, the Buddha said, suffering need not be, because there is a noble truth that we know. There is a noble truth that explains the possibility of cessation of all suffering in the here and now. Then finally, the Buddha taught the Four Noble Truths, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. And if one cultivates this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So this is for understanding. Then important damnation. This one is from Po Yen Zhang Lao, the abbot of Wu Ping Qing, so the late abbot. These are the Mandarin terminology that they use, which are very meaningful. The first word is 自在, meaning me in the moment. And its meaning is to be relaxed and at ease. False thinking means heedless thinking. These are the terms used by Shen Huang. One is not right here or aware within means you are lost in thought. First pronunciation, qiao, qie, qie is the second one, isn't it? Qiao, I think qiao, yeah, qiao, oh, qie, means enlightenment. And the second qiao means to stir up trouble. So these are the two words that Shen Huang use. Okay, then part 3. 3.1. Training of the mind to be heedful. There are two steps involved. We are mind sweeping method plus metta or 6R plus an object of meditation. Then finally, silence your mind to be heedful within. We are letting go of the object of meditation. You have to relinquish the meditation object, otherwise you will not be able to understand the true meditation. There is the mind is constantly meditative and ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. The mind sweeping method is a very good and skillful means to train the mind to be at the location you want it to be. And it also trains you to feel and not to think. Then you continue to relax whatever tension, tightness and stress within the location you feel, like your forehead, etc., to enable you to be in the state of relaxed inner awareness to realize the tranquility, peace, quietness and calmness within when there is no more thinking. Then your mind will be at peace, at ease and without thought, hence deconditioning it from your habitual heedless thinking and worry. So mind sweeping method is very useful. It helps you to decondition your heedless thinking. Then you can be trained to have your mind located anywhere. You want it to be at the forehead, it's at the forehead. Then you check. Then you want to go to the heart, you stay at the heart, you check. So you have some form of training through mind sweeping method. Train your mind to at the location that you want it to be. Then you can use it to meditate, to understand anything. Okay, next chapter. Within the conditioned world of life and existence, everything is conditioned arising. Or they arise due to causal phenomena. Following the five universal order, or pancha niyama, namely, Uttu Niyama, Bija Niyama, Kama Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. This one we have covered. Hence, they exhibit the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, or empty nature. The first two of the five, Pancha Niyama, they are scientific law. That is nature's physical law, Uttu Niyama, and nature's biological order, Bija Niyama. And the next three are nature's spiritual law called karma, kama niyama, chitta niyama, and finally dhamma niyama. Okay. Understanding this five universal order or law implies having right view with regards to life and existence. And this right view will enable one to have great understanding and wisdom of the existential world. Understanding Chitta Niyama will also enable one to understand how your mind functions following the 12 link of law of dependent origination as taught by the Buddha. The children of today are mostly second generation kids, and nowadays parents, they are usually overprotective of their second generation children. And they also tend to over-pamper them in the name of love, loving them, hence giving rise to all the related social problems. This is especially common in family where the family members do not have close relationship with each other. They usually lack harmony, and the family members seldom have the opportunity or line of communication to talk and discuss with one another openly, frankly, and sincerely to resolve their life problems like relationship problem, health problem, career problem, and financial problem, etc. Do learn to play your role as responsible and good parents. We are cultivating and understanding the Buddha Dharma, or great wisdom as taught by the Buddha. Then share them with your children to guide them through life. Your duty or responsibility as parents are to provide for their four basic needs. Your duties and responsible as parents are to provide for their basic needs like food, shelter, clothing, and education, etc. When they are young, and not to pamper them or be too protective of them. Advise them accordingly, and then allow them to make their own decision in life, where it is their life, and let them be responsible for their own life. Let them be responsible for their own life decision, and never force them or try to control them in any way that will cause them to dislike you or refuse to talk or discuss matter to you. So this one in the family relationship is very critical. If you don't have a line of communication open for your children to discuss things with you, a lot of very sensitive things they will not discuss with you. They will lie to you, and they will go somewhere else. Okay, next part, Heart Sutta Lesson 14. There is a big difference between emotional love, conditioned love, and metta, which is universal love. An example of emotional love is the usual love and hate relationship of lay people. One morning they will love each other when things go their way, and the next moment, this so-called emotional love can turn into hatred, envy, jealousy, etc. Then there is the other relationship between parents and children, brothers and sisters. Daughter-in-law and mother-in-law, good friend, etc. Expressed as conditioned love that only exists because of relationship bond, whereas universal love or metta is love without any opposite. The mind that has metta is always peaceful and happy, without any negativity. It is born of wisdom that enables one to accept the reality of the moment and always be at peace with the way things are. And one's heart is always full of metta. So loving kindness is a very good virtue. Then we have definition of terminology or terms. Samadhi, this one we have gone through, a mind that is collected, unwavering, and unmoving. So total understanding of the ever-shining of the Buddha nature. Host and master means fully in charge. Mind is at peace, meaning mind that is heedful, silent, and unstirred. There is some Dharma saying by Master Poyen Zhanglao, which are quite similar to the above teaching. So these are the poems that Poyen Zhanglao, before he passed away, he wrote them. Then I think Miss Lee put it in the notes. Then I translated it. This word is very good. Xing Jing. You know what is Xing Jing? your mind is quiet, still. So this one means silent mind, quiet mind, or still mind. The next two is very, very meaningful. Wu nian shi zhen nian. Oh, sorry, zhuan xing. Yeah, very good. My Mandarin not so good. Yeah. Wu nian shi zhen xing. You understand? No thought is true mind. Now you understand? No thought is true mind. You understand? Do you understand? You cannot understand. Why can't you understand? No. When you are without thought, you are just aware. That's why it's a direct seeing. That is the true mind. That is your pure consciousness up there. You understand? And you cannot have that true mind connected is because you think a lot. The thought are the one that cloud you. Understand? That's why this Po Yan Zhang Lao, Master Po Yan, he's very good. And this one, he wrote it in his poem. You know. He's a very good calligrapher. And he is a direct student of Xu Yun Lao He Sang, 120 years old monk from China. Xu Yun is very famous. Then the next line, okay. Wow, this Mandarin word not easy to read. I have to read the English Han Yi Pinyin. Dong Nian Ji Wu, Ji Wu Ming, is it? Now maybe Jin Hao help me to read the Mandarin. Correct? I read from the English translation, the Han Yi Pinyin. Dong Nian Ji Wu Ming. You know what is the meaning of Dong Nian or not? When you stir your mind, when you move your mind. That is Hitler's thinking, delusion, is it? Who stir the mind? You already study the dependent origination. What did the Buddha say? The first dueling. Avijja paccaya sankhara. When you create thinking, sankhara, there must be avijja. Understand? That's why dong nian ji wu ming. It's very beautiful. That is understanding, meaning wisdom. Outflow means what? Defilement, evil roots, and delusion. Then the eight worldly condition earlier on, we touched on it, but I didn't elaborate on it. So this one is very good. The Buddha said there are eight pairs of duality in this world, common to the living beings. He said, gain and loss. What is the meaning? Wherever there is gain, there is loss. Then my teacher Ajahnyantra, very good. He always remind these people who lost everything. He said, don't be upset. Don't be unhappy. Before you have not. Correct not? You are born into this world, nothing. Then you gain them as well. So he say, what you have lost is only what you have, it's only losing back what you have gained. Understand? You understand? So you didn't really lose. He said, before you have not. So what you have lost is what you have gained. So you didn't really feel so bad. Understand? If you have not gained it, you lose it. Of course, you have to pay. But if you have gained it, if that thing is yours, then you make a wrong decision, wrong investment, or wrong call, then you lost everything. Then they felt so unhappy, miserable. These are hard-earned money, you see. And I lost them just like that. Then sometimes because of karma, you become the victim. People deceive you and cheat you. Then you lose everything. Then the second pair, happiness and sorrow. The Buddha wants you to recall these are the duality. If you cling to happiness, sorrow will be the result, but it is a worldly condition. You remember the Buddha said, when this arises, that arises. Well, you want happiness, understand? You want the positive, you don't want the negative. But when you hold on to the positive, there is condition for you to become miserable already. You know? Because through your views and opinion, you cling on to this duality. When things don't go your way, what happens? You cannot get what you want. The opposite will arise. Eh? When things go your way, very happy, you know, jump with joy, like you strike lottery, or you pass your exam, your girlfriend accept you. Yeah? Yes, I do. Wow, jump for joy. After married, love fly out the window. That fight, argue, divorce, jealousy, everything. So all this is the duality. Wherever there is happiness, if you don't have wisdom, be careful. The opposite is sorrow. Unhappiness. Mm. Then when people praise you, also same. Wherever there is praise, the Buddha said, there will be blame. So you have to understand, not everybody has the same thinking or perception. Understand? Yeah? Whatever you do, no matter what, there are some who will praise you and say, wow, you are very good. But there are some funny ones, they will still comment on. Ah, yeah, where I got good? Nothing lah, I got somebody better than him. See? Then the government also. No matter what type of government, there are people who oppose you, opposition. So, the world is the world. There is nothing you can change. And if you have this understanding, you will not cling to either. Because all this praise and blame is a worldly phenomenon. When you are famous, people praise you. When you make mistake, what happens? People blame you, curse you. Then when you become very famous, fame and ill fame, the last pair. I think you ask Lee Chong Wei, he will know. Understand? Last time when he started, he tried very hard. About to win already. Then what happened? He lost. Wow, the paper write like anything. Until he got so fed up. Then when he won the All England, the paper start to praise him again. Got fame. Then after he keep on losing to Ling Tan. You fail. But recently, he did very well. Some of you like badminton, you will like this news. He won the All England. You all know, most of you know. And that match I was told very good. My classmate text me. He say, this time he won by good margin. I think 21-11 and 21-10. And the opponent is a very good player. But he got no answer for Dato' Lee Chong Wei. You know what happened this round? He last time when he played, he got very good smash. Whenever he smash, most of the time he will win a point. But he don't have the stamina to smash. We are lao liao, understand? Old age sickness. Lao liao, 35 already. This time, because the match was fairly easy, he got win, Key Hong. Understand? And Hokkien sometimes say, Kao Bo Hong. I don't know why, it must be a Kao Bo. Then, he smashed his way through, and according to the report, he can smash sideline, baseline, center, and right and left. Until that opponent got no answer. That opponent beat Lin Tan in the semifinal. Yeah. So you just imagine. You go and look at him and say, "Aiya, Lee Chong Wei, Dato' Lee Chong Wei, lao liao." 35, how to play that 21 one? That 21 one cannot cope. Got no answer for his new star. Well, he suddenly come out with a new star. I don't know whether it's a strategy or what. You remember? He pretend to scold PAM. The new court, the new building that they went in, people complained before, the flooring very slippery. Then he said he went in, he sleep. Understand? You remember? Then injured. Then he said he'll be out of action for a while. Then he scared he may not appear in the All England. Then last minute, he not only appeared in the All England, he was fit like a what? Like a what? Fiddler on the roof. I tell you, people thought, this cunning guy. he pretend old already, some more sleep, so people take him for granted. But when they face him, then they see the true Dato Lee Chong Wei. So this is life, understand? So this worldly phenomena is going to teach you a lot of things. When you are mindful, you always maintain the understanding. These are worldly conditions. The world is the world, even during the Buddha's time. A lot of people curse him, blame him. Even what they call, like, frame him, understand? The Jinja incident. They frame him and say, the Buddha was the one that raped her and made her pregnant. And the Buddha went into ill fame for 3 months. And during that time, Ananda said, please, he asked the teacher, we have to leave this place. Nobody trusts us anymore because of the rumor, the scandal. But people didn't check. Then the Buddha can check. He said, this is my past coming. I have to pay back. Well, in one of the previous existence, long, long ago, he didn't know that the person that is on arms round is a Pacheka Buddha. That time he was a kid, no? I don't know whether he was kid or what, I forgot already. The kid one was, he put sand into that particular Buddha's part. That's why before he died, he has to take that last meal that make him miserable. The other one is, I cannot remember. It could be a lay person also, I don't know. Or a monk. Then he was an ordinary Putujana also. That time as a Bodhisattva, he also didn't know. So he got angry and he abused this Pacheka Buddha. No? Scolded him like anything. No? Then say a lot of things. No? Oh, the karmic nature's law hit back. When he becomes Sammasambuddha, he kena back from people. That's why he told Ananda, never mind. This will come to pass. 3 months from now, he said, this will come to pass. And then later on, really, after 3 months, they realized Jincha didn't even get pregnant. There was no baby inside that. Then the whole thing was exposed. And then he got back his fame or reputation. See? Sammasambuddha also have to face this worldly condition. You cannot escape. If condition is such, it will happen. Okay? Then the note is, do not cling to the 8 worldly condition. We are understanding the importance of cultivating equanimity, enlightenment factor, needed to liberate the mind. When there is equanimity, you are different. You are not tempted by all this. These are the worldly phenomena. When there is condition for it to arise, it will arise. When there is no more condition, the opposite will manifest. So you have to accept this reality. These are the reality of life and existence. You have gone through life. You can even share your own experience. Have you ever been blamed before? Yeah? If you haven't been blamed before, means you're very good. In the past, you never blamed people. Then, how many of you have experienced this happiness and sorrow? Huh? Nobody? Wow, you all enlightened already. You never experienced happiness and sorrow. Never get unhappy before. Then no need to come for retreat. You can go. These are worldly conditions, isn't it? Then, have you experienced gain and loss? There was an incident in the Buddha's time. What is the name of that lady? Gotami. Kesa. Thanks, Panchi. Kesa Gotami. Her story was actually terrible. How many of you know the story? Help me to tell the story. I save some time. Panchi. You don't know? Yeah, with the Chawan. You know the story? I heard about this from the late Reverend Suwano from Penang. He is a very good monk, although he speaks Hokkien Dhamma. He not bad. He understands many things. He was the one that told the story, and I heard this nature inside there, new, karmic, very strong. But behind that karmic, is the condition for her to become enlightened. You know what happened? A lady would like to listen to this. Kesa Gotami was from a rich, wealthy family. Very beautiful, very pretty. Then he fall in love with a commoner, or called handsome guy. Then what happened is, he ran away from home now, because he loved this handsome guy so much. Then the parent was very, very unhappy, very upset. So they sent people to search for them. So she got to hide, She got to hide. Then the husband also was with her. Then we had 2 kids already, that time. Because after they went out, they have 2 kids. I don't know whether on their way back to visit, because after they have 2 kids, they thought the parent would have accepted them. Then on their way back, they got this problem. Heavy thunderstorm, very dark. Then I don't know whether they have been robbed or don't know what. Then the husband said, "You don't come out. You stay here with the kid. I will go and check and deal." The husband didn't come back now. Then finally, he realized he is dead. Then by the time he realized, he was in tears, sorrow, lamenting. He went back to the children. He saw one of the children missing. Again, dead, because an animal took it. Then finally, with the last one, he continued on her journey back. When he crossed the river, swept away, the baby died. All 3 loved ones, simultaneously within the 2-3 days, died. And you know what happened? She was like completely in, what you call that? Huh? Sorrow, lamentation, and like, your Hokkien say, siao liao. Completely not herself. Suffering with grief, sorrow. Holding that dead baby, not even dressed up because of the flood and all things. Walking into the city, the town, where the Buddha happened to be there. Then she was in that state. Then people were curious because a lady carrying a dead baby, completely naked, not wearing anything. Then they tried to help her. They say, maybe you go to see Sakyamuni Buddha. He may help you. Then when she was there, the first thing he asked is, save my child. Every home he went to seek help, they say, your child is dead. I cannot help you. But when he reached the Buddha, you know what the Buddha tell her or not? What did the Buddha tell her? He never say your child cannot be saved. Then send her away. He did. He said, Master Seed. He said, he get from Ananda one Master Seed. He said, you go to every house with this Master Seed. Then and ask them, have anybody in your house passed away? If there is somebody passed away, you cannot ask for the mustard seed. Understand not? If you can find a house that got nobody died before, then ask for the mustard seed. Then I save your child. She was so excited, she kept on going. Every house will say, I got so-and-so die already. I got so-and-so die. Not the grandparent, it's the grandparent and all the thing. Then she suddenly woke up. He came back to the Buddha. He's no longer sorrowful. He told the Buddha. He said, how come every house I go, there is nobody with any family that don't have somebody who passed away? Then the Buddha said, now you sit down. The Buddha can preach to her. He said, this is a reality. Everyone must die. It's a matter of when you die. Death is a reality. You have to come to terms with it, accept it. Otherwise, you will become very miserable, sorrowful, afflicted. And that was what the story was all. Then immediately after that, she becomes so tapan. So you go naked, carry. Then you go around and see, ask around. This is how the Buddha actually uses wisdom where he can see that Kesa Gotami was ready. Understand? So sometimes the karma is like that. My nature suddenly understood. Because of attachment, love, understand? Your past life, this commoner or handsome guy, they must have been married many lives. That's why love at first sight. They're willing to leave the family, and go with him. But this guy is a very responsible guy. That's why got two beautiful kids, they got 2 years of good life. But after that, she has to face this type of misery. And the karmic behind is very difficult to comprehend. But yet, there is a bright side. When this karmic takes place, he has to go through this grief, affliction, suffering, misery, agony. Then he met the Buddha because of affinity and parami. That's why she can become enlightened. Understand? So this is a story, Jataka story, that you can learn. Never estimate your own potential. People with so much suffering, like Kesa Gotami, can just awaken after she understood what reality of life is all about. Then the bandit like Angulimala, who killed so many, can become arahant straight away when he changed. That's why when you have the faith and the understanding and the condition, it's just a flip of a hand. You can see that this is the way to enlightenment, to understanding life. Immediately you are there. But if you continue to grieve, become miserable, don't want to have a free mind or open mind, if Angulimala has not had the open mind and reflect and contemplate, how come this the Buddha is called what? Contemplative. They call in the olden day contemplative. He's just a monk. How come I am so fast, so mighty? I keep on running. I couldn't catch up. Then he realized this one is no ordinary monk. Then he realized this contemplative came all the way to risk his life, must be trying to teach me something. That's why he just kneel down and request. That's why you must have some form of karmic bodhi seed, understand? Seed of bodhi that enable you to recognize all this. Then through that understanding, he just gave up everything and follow Sakyamuni. Because Sakyamuni created that condition, psychic, so that he cannot follow. Then he said, after I call out to you, I say, hey contemplative, stop. Then the Buddha stopped. Then Angulimala was panting. Then he asked him, he said, contemplate, I asked you to stop. Why earlier on you didn't stop? Then the Buddha replied, I stopped long ago. You are the one that didn't stop. He said, how can now I already stop? You say, I am not stopped. When you are walking so far, you say you have stopped long ago. He said, I stopped killing people. You have continued to kill people and you haven't stopped. Oh, the moment he heard that, he kneeled down, he gave up, throw away all his sword and shield, then kneel down and request to take refuge under the Buddha. He said, from now onward, I'm going to follow you. I will stop killing. I will stop all this. That's why he became the disciple, attendant to Sakyamuni. And this type of being can just become enlightened. Right? So now you must have faith in your own potential, your own possibility. So do not be deluded. Without the Bodhi mind, all this is impossible. Without the past condition, they must have vowed to meet up with Sammasambuddha, the Triple Gem. Otherwise, there is no way for them to meet. And how can you become an arahant after killing almost 999 living being or human being? Oh, the rain is very heavy, huh? Maybe the story on Kesa Gotami touched touch some of up there. Okay, we continue from where we stop. After the eight worldly condition, we go to 3.1. Deeper state of meditation are needed to allow the stillness and cessation to develop and stabilize via wisdom. The two main purposes of meditation are to stabilize the silent and tranquil heedful mind via a combination of relaxation, clear awareness, wisdom and understanding. Then the second purpose is to use this still, tranquil, quiet mind or meditative mind to investigate clearly into all the dhammas and the phenomena both internally and externally within life, to realize the wisdom and the enlightenment needed to free the mind. Bhatia also shared with us his own cultivation and how he came out into the private sector to test himself in the year 1989. For detail, please listen to the recording. Now this one, I think I've told you, some of you, the story before. When I was working in that place where they call it a madhouse. Okay, next page. According to the Buddha, mind is the forerunner of all things, and mind makes Ade. Hence, through mental consciousness, we can perceive the phenomenal world of consciousness, all of the physical, mental and nature's phenomena within life and existence. Then the definition of phenomena. This one is very important. Anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. So from this definition, you will understand what a phenomenon is. Then you can understand that there are basically three divisions of phenomena. Physical phenomena, common to the physical body, movement and all things. Then the mind, mental phenomena. Then the mind can perceive nature's phenomena. So these three complete the whole range of phenomena in this universe. Then contemplative wisdom can arise when your silent mind, when you silence your mind to reflect, contemplate and inquire into the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Be aware and mindful of all physical, mental, of physical, mental and nature's phenomena within your daily life to see clearly their moments of arising, its sustenance and passing away of all phenomena, and to realize the penetrative wisdom born of bhavana maya panya, or cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. So this one I explained before. Your mindfulness has to be so stable. You have to be with the moment of its arising, sustaining and the passing away. There and then, if you can be mindful at that level, you will awaken. Then you will see these characteristics of nature, impermanent, suffering state, non-self and empty nature, everywhere in the midst of life. This is how you cultivate. Then with the silent mind in pure awareness, one can be aware of all the vibration and phenomena within one's body and mind. One will be able to perceive deeper into one's mind's consciousness. All phenomena can be perceived via the silent mind, and can also witness how they come and how they go, how they arise and pass away, their birth and death, etc. Hence, realizing their impermanence and empty or non-self nature, you will see them everywhere, from your bodily vibration to your heartbeat, your pulse or pulse of life, your heartbeat, the feeling, the thought activity, perception and consciousness, physical, mental and nature's phenomena, etc. That's why truth is everywhere. If you are mindful, silent, very stable. You only have to silence your mind to see them all as they are. What you perceive via your mundane or thinking mind is not the real condition, because they arise via thought, which is a response to memory. The reality before the knowing is very different. That's why the direct seeing and the mundane seeing, they are world apart. The The reason why living being cannot awaken is they always cling on to the mundane sea. They forgot they got a true mind that can give them direct sea. Samsara or wheel of life within existence can also take the form of man and nature must harmonize. And there are the five universal law or order that governs nature. This one we've gone through before. We don't need to explain. I just read through. These five nature's order, two of them are scientific. Utu niyama and bija niyama. The other three are spiritual law. Kama niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. When you have the right understanding or right view with regards to these five universal order, which are like the secret of life, then you will know how to live life. When you know how to live life, you will know how to experience all of the wonders and beauties of life. Then life will be very meaningful and beautiful. That is, true emptiness is wonderful existence. Then understanding the three right view with regards to the law of karma, the Four Noble Truths, and the law of dependent origination or dwelling is very important, where it can transform your understanding of the Dhamma to enable you to live the noble life. Thought is limited and egoic, hence it cannot free you. True mind is only pure awareness without thought, spacious awareness. As such, it can see things as they are without the conditioning from your conditioned mind. One will come to understand clearly that in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. That is before the knowing and before the delusion or self-delusion carries through to condition you into grasping and clinging onto what you see. Your craving or reactive mental intention is due to your habitual tendency, born of wrong view. Then understanding thought and consciousness. This one is very useful. I explained before how you create thought. Once we input the content of consciousness into our awareness, then consciousness becomes the thought. Hence, thought is equal to the pure consciousness and its content. Initially, before the knowing or the arising of thought, there is just this spacious awareness. The moment you focus on something, you input the content of consciousness, then consciousness becomes restricted or shrink or limited, and that becomes a thought. Take for example, seeing. Initially, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. But the moment you are preoccupied with what you see, and without the wisdom, yoniso manasikara, at the moment of sense experience, the egoic mind, born of self-delusion or wrong view, with regards to the atta and the self, has already arisen, causing you to grasp on and cling on to what you see. Then your habitual tendency is like and dislike, or pleasant and unpleasant. Sense experience will arise to condition your hindrance of mind to arise. As form is the product of thought, hence thought can see form. But form cannot see thought, because thought has got higher intelligence than form. Likewise, since thought is the product of awareness, hence awareness can see or be aware of thought. But thought cannot see awareness, because awareness has got higher intelligence than thought, which is limited and egoic. Can you understand this part? Can you understand this part? Why did I say form is the product of thought? Initially, when the universe was without form, it's only consciousness, isn't it? You can follow. Because it has not become so solid. Then later on, Einstein found out E equals to mc squared. Now, what is that? What is this E equals mc squared? E stands for what? Energy, yes, very good. Energy, correct? Correct spelling. Huh? Energy. Huh? Then what is this? Mong cha cha. MC square. Ah, mass. This is matter. Correct or not? Matter or form. Or form. This is solid. Square of the speed of light. C is the speed of light. That's why they can create nuclear bomb. The amount of energy released, you know, the speed of light is so big a figure. The square of it, so much energy is released. So because of that, you come to know form or matter is a product of thought. Like this table. It come about because of consciousness. Then how does the table come about? Human being or living being use thought to design, skilled worker to make it up. That's why this is a product of thought, you understand? That's why our thought can see form. But you ask the table to see your thought. Is it possible? He cannot see your thought. That's why this is higher intelligence. Thought can see form. But your thought is respond to memory. It's a byproduct of the consciousness. Your consciousness is this life force. Then upon contact, light bulb, light come. So this thought, pure consciousness, input content become thought, is a product of the true mind, awareness. That's why awareness can see thought, can be aware of thought. But thought can never see awareness. Now you understand? You got it? Huh? Juhi? You got higher intelligence. That's why you use thought, you want to realize something that is beyond thought, cannot. Your thought comes from the pure awareness, the true nature, the true mind. Can follow? Still cannot. Then no need to know. Huh? For the time being. But after you meditate, you will know. Then the other part that I want to explain to you is this part. This part is very useful. Okay. That part on seeing. In the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see. This is the part I think a lot of you all may not understand. That's why I want to share this with you. Can I wrap this one? Yeah? Okay? Okay, we slowly use your own common sense to try to understand how your mind functions. We take, for example, seeing consciousness. How to draw an eye. Look like it or not? Like the physics experiment here, upon contact, what happened? It can give rise to seeing consciousness. Seeing consciousness. But because of your delusion, what happened? You say, I see. This egoic mind come out. But the moment you input the content, the thought, egoic, come in. I see. When you say this word, I see. What do you mean by this I? Who see? What see? The standard answer is the I see. You agree or not? He said this fellow is EYE. Both also same pronunciation. I. He said that I see. You agree or not? If you say I see, then I give you a very good analogy. Then you will know you are wrong. When you sleep, your eye open. Yeah. Did you see? You didn't see that. So how can your eye see? Then what else can see? You have a mind there. Then you will be tempted to say, my mind see. Then this one become mine. Agree or not? Logical, isn't it? My mind see. Without mind, I cannot see. Well, when you are asleep, your mind is not conscious. That's why you cannot see. Agree or not? My mind see. Logical or not? Without mind, I cannot see. Jiwei, can I accept? So the next question is, the blind man. The blind man got no eye. The blind man got no eye. But he got mind. You ask the blind man to see. Can he see? Can the blind man see? What happened? No battery. At the back, cannot hear. Cannot hear. What happened? No, this battery is out, is it? No, it's the switch on.
No, battery finish.
Battery finish, yeah? Okay, we wait for Sui An to finish. Change the battery, yeah. Good. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, I repeat. Just now I proved to her that her assumption, we use the word assumption, that I see, this one is your eye, E-Y-E-C. Then I say when you are asleep, your eye is open, but you never see that. Well, you are not conscious. Then it will tempt you to believe, without mind, I cannot see. This is mind. Okay? So you change and say, my mind see. Well, without mind, I cannot see. Very logical. I think most people would have agreed. Even Jiwei also nod the head. Yeah, my mind see. Then the blind man got mind. You ask him to see. Can he see? The blind man cannot see either. Even though he has mind. You understand? So what is happening? Mind alone never see. Cannot see. Eye alone also cannot see. How does seeing consciousness come about? You forgot this one. Condition arising. All the three must be there. Understand or not? You must have a physical organ, the light bulb, working condition. That's why it must be a functional eye. Then there must be contact of mind. There must be power source. Then this one light up. Then the seeing consciousness come to be. You understand? So, I alone don't see, mind alone don't see. Seeing consciousness is dependent originating. You understand? That is what the teaching is all about. Condition arising. Dependent on condition, it arises. You don't need God to create seeing. You don't need a soul inside you to create seeing. That's why the Buddha said there is no permanent unchanging soul entity inside there. It's just consciousness, senses, nothing else. So when you understand this, you are not deceived. Then you realize seeing, there is nobody there. Understand or not? It's like physics experiment, isn't it? Automatic, isn't it? When I on the switch, this will light up, isn't it? Because you have the senses with the consciousness trapped inside. You will be conscious of all these things that arise. But without wisdom, without the Dhamma understanding, you will be deceived, you will be deluded. And then you will create a lot of illusion. Then you say, I see, therefore you associate with the seeing. Even my mind see is still the egoic mind, the thought. that you associate with the seeing, then that is not pure seeing. That is not the direct seeing. That is not wisdom eye seeing. That is egoic mind, mundane seeing with self-delusion. That's how you land yourself into problem. That's how affliction come about. Because you think you see, then you get yourself entangled with the seeing, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Then through your perception, you bring all these things in, the external form. Then you have your loved one, also external form. Your possession, your wealth, your property, your investment. Everything you think is real. Because it's to you, it belongs to you. Because you, through your hard work or through your whatever investment or skill, you manage to have them. Then you bought all this property. Then society's law say, yeah, you own. They belong to you. You got title some more with your name there. That's why self-delusion creates this sakayadity. Then it conditions you to grasp, cling, and hold. And the whole phenomenal world becomes very real to you. That's how attachment, grasping to the five aggregate of form and mind, to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think, lead to suffering. The five aggregate of grasping are suffering. Now you understand? Clear? If not clear, go back and meditate or understand. Silence your mind more and you will understand. Okay? Okay, another 7 minutes. Huh? We have to move on. 1.2. Oh, sorry, 1.2 we finished. 1.3. Important inquiry for developing the meditative wisdom are the feeling, perception, sankhara, and consciousness that arise in you really what you are? You have to contemplate, reflect. If feeling and perception, etc., are you, then when they arise and pass away, how come you didn't die? So who are you? What are you? If they are not you, then why did they arise in you? These are the inquiry. This is how I inquire and I meditate. Then I realize they are dependent originating, condition arising, byproduct of the true mind, true nature. That's why if the five aggregate of form and mind are not you, then why did they arise in you? So these are the three inquiry which are very important. And this is stated in the Buddha's Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Except the Buddha didn't use this. He used another very easy, another much simpler type of explanation. Yeah. Just to them, if feeling is you, if the physical body is you, then you have control. You can tell the feeling, I only want pleasant feeling. That is eternal. It will not change to unpleasant feeling. But your feeling is not you, that's why due to your views, opinion, and your conditioning, or your, they call it religious labor, or belief system, you will react and stir and create duality. So because of that, the feeling can have pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral feeling, depending on how you perceive it. That's why the inclination of your thought, due to your views and opinion, will condition your mind to have that type of feeling. If you have this dislike for certain things, the moment you see unhappy feeling arise, unpleasant feeling arise. But if something that is luring, attractive, beautiful that you like due to your conditioning, and then sensual desire arise. That's why these are the mental hindrance, duality, part of the worldly condition, like and dislike. So when you have the understanding and inquiry, then you will be able to penetrate the Dhamma, you will be able to awaken and realize the truth. Then you will have the wisdom to deal with life. Okay? Then the three types of wisdom is the same, we went through before. Profound prajna means wonderful wisdom of those who have cultivated the bodhisattva way to become Sammasambuddha. Then superficial prajna, this is Mahayana's classification. Limited to the understanding of the Four Noble Truths and the 12 dependent origination, 12 link of condition causation as taught at the Theravada level. Then the third one is form dhamma, perceptible dhamma at the form level. So first of the five aggregates of form and mind. So this is form dhamma. Then there is what they call the mind dhamma. They are not so solid, not so perceptible, non-perceptible dhamma. The remaining four aggregates of mind: feeling, perception, activity of mind, and consciousness. That's why I explained to you early on. If you can't see form, the unreality of form, you cannot see beyond form. Then you cannot see mind. Because form is very gross, perceptible, understand? Whereas the mind, the aggregate of feeling, perception, and even this activity of mind or mental state and consciousness, they are not solid at all. Not so perceptible. So you need to have mindfulness to be aware of them. That's why they are called mind dhamma, non-perceptible dhamma. Then turn to next page. Need awareness or mindfulness to see mind dhamma. If one cannot see form dhamma, then it will be very difficult for them to see mind dhamma, which are much more subtle and much less perceptible. Cultivator of superficial prajna can end birth and death of the delimited segmented life, the form and mind. But they are unable to transcend birth and death of fluctuation or the thought process. They can be enlightened because they don't have any more ignorance. So at the moment of death, there is no more rebirth consciousness. But their mundane mind is still there when they are still in the midst of living life. So sainthood, arahant, they still have the mundane mind. Previous life could be animal, peta, demon, devas, etc. Then this life, say you are a human being. So which one is you? You understand the segmented life. You have been born and die for so many lives. Let's say we draw here. All these are your segment line. Every life you come, until infinity. Let's say this life now, present life, you are a human being. Previous life? Don't know. Who are you? Before you become human being. Maybe come out from beta. Understand or not? Beta. Then before that, maybe animal. Then certain life very lucky. Deva. So each and every life, let's say this is an animal. You're born as a dog or cat or a cow, or fish. Every time when you are born into this, they say, hey, you were a dog before or no? You should say, no lah, that dog not me lah. Understand? You agree or not? Then just now Yu Chan came and see me. He wants to create a joke, crack a joke with me. He said, Bratio, some of us are, I think, he said, we all, he said, among them, they had a discussion. I don't know who they are. We could be the fish or the prawns that you eat. No? Otherwise, we cannot be here. No? Be mindful of what she said. Correct. Because if you are a prawn or a fish, you can never understand all this. But because of the vow, you are here. That's all. Then you can never understand. Then the thought come in and tell you all these things. That's why you got problem. But if you are the cultivator of the way, your affinity very strong, you have met this nature before, then you vow life after life to have affinity. Then when you come, this life you will have the Dhamma. And you can understand what I share very easily. Those who find it difficult are very likely. You seldom meet my nature. Understand? So everything is just nature's law. And form and mind, they are just segmented, karmically conditioned form and mind. Each and every one, you have an entity. Which one is you? None of them are you, understand? Even all this birth, until infinity, none of them are you. That's why the Buddha's teaching is so different. He said, this fine aggregate of form and mind is not you. Condition arising, dependent originating, is not a permanent, unchanging entity. Okay? Then we better end. Okay, 3 o'clock. You can have your... 3 o'clock is supposed to be what? Meditation. Yeah, meditation. So now with the rain, very good. Very easy to meditate.